Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, and help me make a show. Help me do an introduction, won't you? Go ahead, I'll leave a little space here. All right? Want me to give you a prompt? Noun. And then we went and verb. And then we made a noun. Excellent. Good job. Lou.
Oh, hey, Hardy.
What are you doing?
I'm mowing Mrs. Leday's lawn.
What?
I'm mowing Mrs. Leday's lawn.
But you're... I can't talk over this. Could you cut the mower off?
What?
I can't hear. Could you cut the mower off?
Cut the nowhere moth.
Cut the mower off.
Oh, I can't.
What?
I can't. I'm mowing Mrs. Leday's lawn.
But you're not mowing. You're just sitting there with the mower running.
Yes. But if I cut it off, she won't be able to hear it.
Lou, she doesn't even have a lawn.
Have a lawn?
No, she doesn't even have a lawn.
I know.
So what are you doing?
I'm cutting her lawn because she wants it cut.
Please shut the mower off. I can't hear.
I can't. If she doesn't hear it, she'll think I'm not cutting her lawn.
But you're not.
But she doesn't know that.
Just cut it off and tell her you're taking a break.
All right. I'm taking a break, Mrs. Leday. I cut off my toe.
Okay, so what are you doing?
I'm helping Mrs. Leday.
By pretending to cut her lawn?
Look, she called me up all upset because she wants her lawn mowed. Now, I know she doesn't have one, but it's not for me to explain that. So I come out here and I just let the mower run to ease her mind.
Oh, Lou, that's actually pretty great. She's a nice lady. I feel so helpless that she's starting to have troubles.
I don't.
Well, what do you mean?
Rather than feel helpless, I just go and help.
But what can be done?
Well, I can't cure her. That's not my job. That's not what helping means. Helping doesn't mean solving. It means doing a part. Sometimes a very small part. Like, I don't think that me licking envelopes cures childhood cancer, but that's my part.
I hear you.
Hey, why'd you stop mowing?
I'm talking to Hardy.
Well, get going. You're upsetting Mrs. Leday.
What are you doing, Butchie? Why aren't you helping?
I am helping.
Doing what?
I'm watching the silverware. Mrs. Leday doesn't trust Lou. She thinks he's gonna swipe the silverware. So she makes me cake and coffee as payment for watching it while Lou is pretending to mow.
Thanks, Butch. You're a good soul.
Well, stop your loafing and get to work.
Will do. So, what did you want, Hardy?
I just need to talk to you. I was hoping maybe you could go to lunch.
All right. I could probably take a break. So what's up, Hardy?
I need some help, Lou.
I get that. Well, first of all, the Liesel von Trapp grilled cheese is the regular grilled cheese, and the Lonely Goat Herd has goat cheese on it. See, everything on the menu has a von Trapp family theme. That's why the restaurant is called The Sound of Food.
No, I don't need help with the menu.
Then you're a better man than I. When I first came here, I was like, a strawberry sister margarita and a Ralph Gruber burger? What is this?
No, I mean, I need help with life.
Be more specific, please.
I'm not sure I can. I just feel like I've lost my way. I don't know who I am.
That's probably because there was a mix-up between possible worlds where you and Butchie split into different manifestations of yourselves and the multiverse was reduced to a large but finite prime number.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, I'm not sure what I mean. It's just that I thought I knew more than I did, and you seem to be a lot more comfortable in the world.
That's because I don't wear underwear or socks in the summer. I mean, who needs that? I launder and bathe regularly. I'd rather feel free.
No, I mean, you seem to not have any self-doubt.
I don't? Oh, no. Oh, should I? What am I going to do? What am I doing wrong?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't care. Doubt about what?
Your purpose.
I know you didn't say porpoise, but did you know that a dolphin and a porpoise are two different species? I think a lot of people think they're the same, but they aren't.
Okay.
My point being, I forgot. So, what do you need my help with? Excuse me, with what do you need my help with?
How do I feel like I'm doing this right?
Okay, first of all, a guy walks into a doctor and says, Doc, I feel. And the doctor says, you feel what? And the guy says, I feel. And the doctor says, look, you've got to be more specific. I can't know how to help you unless you give me a little more to go on.
I feel lost.
I think I know what's going on, barring some physical or brain chemistry problem.
What?
You feel lost.
Well, I could have told you that.
And you did.
So what do I do about it?
Look, you aren't asking for help. You're asking for a solution. And no one can do that, even you. You build houses brick by brick. You repair things piece by piece. We're all pieces, man. No one's the whole puzzle.
Okay.
We're part of a family. Of a species, of the universe. You carry a part of things, but never the whole thing. I can't cure Mrs. Lede of her old lady problems, but I do my thing. It can be unsatisfying, but I just stopped thinking that satisfied meant done. You can't have things neatly wrapped up and sorted. You do your little job and hope it matters, but it may not. It still has to be done. If the key to survival depends on trying out a bunch of options, some will work and some won't. You are an option. A menu item. You have to be on the menu in case someone wants you that evening for brunch.
So, I'm not doing it wrong?
Doing what wrong? We are all literally making this up as we go along. I just made up everything I said to you. I have no answers. I just show up in case my wrong answer is needed.
Thanks, Lou.
One time in school, we had to do science experiments in front of the class, and at the end of everyone's presentation, the teacher called up my group, and I was so happy I thought we did the best. And he said that we were an example of exactly how not to do an experiment. This was fifth grade. I was humiliated and crushed, and from that moment on, I stopped trying in school, and my life changed. But now I realize that someone had to do it wrong, and that's fine. We still taught something, and I should have learned too and moved on instead of taking it personally.
Wow, Lou, you are wise.
Okay, you see, I'm not, though. I have one little piece of wisdom. That's my contribution. I'm not entirely anything, and that's fine.
I think I understand.
Good. That's as close as it gets. Now, if I might recommend the Gretel cakes.
There once was a pirate captain, and he stood on the deck of his pirate ship before his crew, and he said, I hold in my hand here a treasure map. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tattoo part of that treasure map on each one of you, but only part, so that no one of you has the entire map, so that you must all work together to find the treasure. And he did this. He tattooed part of the map on each member of the crew. And then when he was done, all the crew got together and tried to figure out what the map was, but they were having trouble. But he had the map already, so he took it, and he took it to the island, and he dug up the treasure for himself, laughing all the way. But the tragic end of this story is that he choked on one of the rubies because he thought it was a hard candy. The moral of this story is, I have no idea what it is. We all got to work together, but even then it might not work out. Oh, my friends, we all want to know who we are in this world, what our role is. What our role is? Well, it's probably playing triangle in a symphony. And you say, well, there's not even a triangle in this piece that we're playing. But you know that the moment you get up and go to the bathroom that they're going to point to you and say, triangle, and you're not going to be there. Oh, we can't all be the conductor. And you don't want to be the conductor because he has some sort of intestinal problem. So, what are you saying, Hardy? I don't remember. I'm going to go back and listen, though, later, and I'll figure out what I'm saying. Oh, my friends, I'm just so glad to be with you. All I know is that it's important to show up. I'm not sure what my role is, and I'm not sure that anybody really knows. Things keep changing all the time. This isn't like some theater production where you know what the lead is and what the supporting roles are. They may very well all be leads or all be supporting roles. It's hard to tell. So I just show up and do my little part and help. One winter, my elderly neighbor needed his driveway shoveled out. So a lot of us neighbors came together, and one of them, a physics professor, said, "Hey, listen, I'm a physics professor, so really I'm overqualified to just shovel. Are you sure you don't need some math problems solved?" And the man said, "No, I really just need my driveway shoveled." He said "shovery droveled" because he's poor thing. But so the physics professor walked away, and we said, "Hey, we could have used him." It doesn't matter that he was overqualified. It doesn't matter if you're underqualified. We just need you to shovel some snow right now. Sometimes the job that's called for might not be appealing to you, but if you really want to know what your purpose is, I guess it's just to do anything. I don't really know what's going on. No one has told me. I'm not sure that anyone does know. You know, as far as biology goes, there's no better or best. There's just something that happens to click for the moment. You might have the right piece. We're looking around. Everyone has a tool. And we don't know what the job, whether the job is going to be a screw or a nail or whether it's going to be a bolt or something. So when we call out, "Hey, monkey wrench," you go, "Oh, that's my old high school nickname, but I'm holding a hammer. So I don't know what to do." You present your hammer and you say, "Why don't you hit the, there is no monkey wrench. Why don't we just hit the bolt with the hammer?" And you say, "Well, there's an old saying that goes, when you have a hammer, every problem is a nail." And you go, "Exactly. So maybe this is a nail problem." I've had nail problems before, mainly cuticle-oriented. Or, you know, sometimes I've pried my toenail up by kicking the heavy bag wrong or something. What are you talking about? I'm talking about martial arts. You never know what you're going to use, right? You never know what the attack is going to be. You learn self-defense. Say, "Well, I want to learn a specific self-defense. Like, what if somebody gently grabs my wrist?" That's a big one. You say, "Well, now I know what to do." I'll say, "Hang on now." And then I go around and I get the wrist and they go, "Hey, how did you, now you're holding my wrist." "I know. So give me your wallet." "I don't have a wallet or I wouldn't be robbing you," says the attacker. Oh, my friends, what is the answer? What is the answer? I think Gertrude Stein said that. Or somebody said that. Was it Alice B. Toklas? And one of them, Gertrude Stein, said, "What was the question?" "I don't know." And Alice said, "What is the answer?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Neither one of them. And then they both died. But we still have Gertrude's poems, and we still have Alice B. Toklas' recipe for hash brownies. So that is something they both contributed. Now, they both had different talents, right? Neither one of them would be like sporty haircut, but they were other things that they taught us how to do. Oh, your teacher can be anywhere or anything or anybody. I was taking my morning walk and I always see the same thing, but I always get a different lesson. And last week I said, "Oh, on my morning walk, I saw crows scolding a hawk." Well, I saw it again. But today I wasn't thinking about what I was thinking about last week. I wasn't thinking about listening. I was thinking about helping. And I thought, how many crows does it take to scold a hawk? And you're saying, "Well, that reminds me of that old Tootsie Pop commercial." How do you figure? Well, they ask the owl how many licks it takes to chew up I gave away the ending. A Tootsie Pop or anything really, a candy that has something in the middle. Why do you even need to get to the middle? Why do you think that's the purpose? The Tootsie Roll part's the worst part. I want the candy to last on the outside. I don't want my favorite TV series to come to an end. I don't want to get to the chewy middle necessarily. And how many crows does it take to scold a hawk? You just got to show up. They don't care which crow you are. Whether you're good at it, they just need some numbers to chase that hawk away. Poor hawk. He just wanted to eat one of their babies. That's all he wanted. Maybe you could reason with them. "Listen, y'all, I just came here to eat one of your babies.
This is, I'm not, you know, I've got nothing against y'all or anything. It's just got hawks got to eat. And I got babies too. And I want to eat your baby, chew it up, and throw it up into my baby's mouth. And that, can't you understand that? It's very difficult sometimes to understand the perspective of others or other creatures even. Do we have to? I think too much emphasis is put on understanding. I believe in exploring and looking for answers, but gosh, are you going to come to a whole answer? Now I know everything that's going on. Now I can make the entire map. Now what's on that treasure map? It's just a picture of the island with an X in the middle that says the treasure's here. But what it doesn't show you is the island next to it. Why? Because you don't need to know. It's a need-to-know island treasure map, pirate map. Now, why are we so obsessed with pirates? There's even theme parks that have pirates. 18th century marauding, stealing, murdering hordes of thieves and all and criminals. Why are we so obsessed with them? Why not like you know, medieval European murder gang or something? Is that a thing? Do they have those? I don't even know. Let's make it up. We don't know. You could just make it up. Sometimes you have to improvise. Can you improvise everything? Again, these are wonderful questions. Questions are good. Do they need to be followed by an answer? I have a couple friends that if you ever propose a question in front of them, they will answer. It's like a reflex. Now, I know they don't know, but they feel just compelled to give some answer. And I don't even think it's not that they're know-it-alls. It's just for some reason, they believe that if a question has been asked of them, then they must say something. And I think we all have that in us, don't we? Say, you know, ask questions like, are you my mother? Remember that book? Are you my mother? The little, was it a bird asks of a steam shovel? And the steam shovel has the only right answer in the whole book, and that is just silence. Because the steam shovel is thinking about it. I don't know. Do you mean literal, your literal mother? Maybe I'm your mother in a way. Maybe the bird came out. I don't know, buddy. Listen, now that I think about it, I'm a steam shovel. So probably not. But I don't want to discourage you. I might have to take care of you. Maybe I am your mother. Come on, hop in my bucket. Live in my bucket. And that's what I say to you. That's what Hardy White is saying to you. I'm a steam shovel. You are a lost baby bird. Come on in and live in my bucket. And you say, well, that's not adequate. I go, well, you can live in it for a while until you find a nicer place. Don't you want a place to just a soft place to land and think about your lack of a mother? Yes, well, do it. All sorts of questions come to us. And we don't always have answers, but sometimes we need a little place to think, a little thinky place. Sometimes I'll just empty out a closet, so I'm going to go in here and think. And I'll go in the closet, and I'll think for a while, and then the oxygen runs low, and I go, ooh, I forgot why I came in here. That solves the problem. Doesn't always have to be an answer. Sometimes just make the question go away. Sometimes it's a bad question. Are there any bad questions? Yes, that one is terrible. Which one? Are there any bad questions? That's a bad question? Again, I'm just funning with you. I don't know. I'd be a terrible teacher, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Oh, come on, really? I think I would, though. You know, take out your notebooks. Now I don't know. Write something. Doodle. But how does this have anything to do with the lesson? You'll see. But I really don't know. I'm really making it up. Think of something. Think of something. I'm sure I will. Oh, all I know is I want to bless you. All I know is I have to show up. Do I have an idea for a show every week? Actually, yes, I do. I'm so sorry. I do. But even if I didn't, I would still show up and do my show. Because you never know when you're going to say something. Now, I speak for an hour. How many gems of wisdom are in there? And is one of them actually a lozenge? Is one of them a hard candy? Is there a potential for not choking on one of these if you eat them? Yes. Do you have to eat all the rubies and emeralds to find out which one is actually a hard candy? Well, that would be awful because you'd choke on them all. What is this a metaphor for? I don't know. I just know that I need to be here with you. I feel compelled. I feel driven. I feel I've had a calling.
How does that... Oh, I wish I had a calling. No, you don't. Here's how my calling went. I was sitting there and I heard a voice in my head and went, Hardy. I said, yes. What? Hardy. Yes? Am I being called? Hardy. I feel like I'm being called. Hard. And that was it. It's just my name over and over again. I thought, I am experiencing a calling. Something is calling to me. Unfortunately, it's not being very specific. It's not telling me what I am called to do. It is not telling me the task, and it is not telling me the solution. Oh, what can it possibly be? I may never know, but I know that I am being summoned, and I must stand up and say, I agree to be counted. I agree to be in this band, even though I am not the guitar player. Oh, the guitar player is not the... Anyway, people, are you in a band? Then you know that you must play your part. You don't always have to. Can I solo the entire time? No. Don't solo the entire time. Will there be a bass solo? No. Probably not. Can't you just fit in and do your part? Well, yes, but I would like to show off my exceptional skills. You know, that might not be what actually comes across. What might come across is something superfluous, something that isn't fitting in. You might actually work against a purpose, you know, if you try to stand out or, oh, I don't know, friends. Oh, my gosh, I just want to calm your heart. Look at you. Oh, some of you don't know. You're so lost. I'm so lost. Well, where are you supposed to be? I don't know. Then how do you know you're lost? How do you know you're lost? You could be exactly where you're supposed to be. You know, I use the analogy of a sports team sometimes. I'll say, there's a sports team. We're all a sports team. And they'll say, how so? I go, I don't feel like I need to elaborate on that. Sometimes I use the analogy of a movie. And I'll say, we're all actors in a movie. And you'll say, how so? And again, why do you need me to tell you specifics? But I will. I'll make something up if I must. There are some people on sports teams, let's say professional baseball, football, soccer, softball, anything, aquatic darts. And somebody will say, well, I'm really good. I'm one of the best on this team, but I had a bad year last year. I wish I was the best again. And there's also somebody on the team thinking, I'm just glad to be playing professional aqua darts. I'm just glad to be here. I didn't think I'd ever make it into the pros. So every day that I get to show up at the arena pool, I feel like it's magic. You know, just that I can contribute, to see my name on the roster. So a lot of times, those of you who have had a little bit of success, sometimes it's a curse. Because you think, well, I'm not the best anymore. But look around you. Maybe you're just lucky to be there. Maybe you're just lucky. It's like being in a movie. Some of us would love to be, if you're a professional actor, you're thinking, oh man, I've been a supporting actor in all these movies. I just want to be a lead. There's some people saying, I just want to be the guy in the background drinking a coffee. That would be fine with me. I just want to be in a movie. I said, well, yes, but I'm what? What are you going to say? What were you just about to say? Better? Better? Are you really? And if you were starring in the movie, haven't you ever seen people criticizing somebody starring in a movie saying, oh my gosh, you want to see the worst movie ever? This guy, he's the star of the movie, and it's just the worst, and you're held up for ridicule. No one holds up a supporting actor for ridicule necessarily. No one holds up somebody just walking in the background, an extra. Well, I don't want to be just an extra. Why not? Why not be an extra? Like you don't have a life? Like you won't have adventures? Like things don't happen? Oh, there's too much emphasis on being the center of things. The center moves around. The center will not hold. Guys talk. You hear things. The falcon calls out to the falconer. He says, hey, I'm being chased by some crows. Go, you just tell them crows you want to eat babies. I did. They're not listening. Call. Oh. Like that, the falcon says. That's right, the second coming. I like poetry. Don't you? I feel like every word that I say sometimes is poetry, just not a good poem. I feel like when I am speaking that maybe I am reading off of a great long poem, and that poem is free form, and sometimes the poem rhymes like when I say morning walk and scolding a hawk, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the poem just drones on, and you say, "Who? What is this, a City Lights Publishing book or something? I don't know what I'm reading. Is this one of the Beat Poets?" It just seems to sound like conversation, or a one-way conversation, a monologue, or is it a conversation that somebody is having with their own soul? Am I speaking to myself, or am I speaking to my fellow man? Am I speaking to my fellow creature? How would I address a room of elephants? And the elephants are thinking, "Hey, I think we need to talk about the puny human in the room." I'd say, "All right. Oh, you mean me? Yes. We are elephants and cannot understand your cackling, crapping, like that." I don't know how to spell that. So it's just in parentheses and it says nonsense words. My grandfather used to say, "Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle." And I would say to him, "Yes, I guess if your sister has a little monkey baby." And he'd get very angry and he said, "My sister's dead." Like that. And I'd cry and he'd go, "No, I'm kidding. She's not. You know she's not." And I thought about it, and I go, "Oh, you're right, she's not." And then she did die, and I felt bad because she never had a little monkey baby. And I think that my grandfather thought that someday he would be a monkey's uncle. Am I an uncle? I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to hurt my niece and nephew who live, one of them lives in Colorado. Oh, I shouldn't have said that at all. But I may or may not be. Have I been a good uncle? No. I remember one of my uncles gave me, when I was little, gave me a comedy album. I'm not going to tell you which one because now I'm disappointed in the comedian. But I thought, "Oh, he's given me, I admired this comedy album and now he gave it to me." So I thought, when I have a niece or a nephew, I'm going to give them my old stuff I don't want anymore. And maybe it'll really affect their lives, change their lives. So much that we do to children can have an effect on them. Like when I tattooed half of a pirate map on one of them when they were staying with me. And that was a big mistake. It was fun at the time. I go, "Let's play pirate," like that. And then I guess I just took it a little too far. "Oh, it hurts. The tattoo hurts." I go, "Just stop your screaming. I'm almost got it. And you're going to get the part with the X. So maybe you could just, you don't even need the other half of the map. Where's the other half? I'm going to tattoo it on my own back." How? I don't know how that's going to work. I didn't think it through. I don't think, I have hard times thinking things through all the way because I can't see possibilities. I'm not able to see the future. Sometimes I'm not even able to guess at what the future is. I'm always surprised, unless I'm watching certain TV shows, which are very predictable. I think when people are writing certain types of art, that they make it predictable on purpose because people have expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, sometimes they are disappointed. But I don't mind disappointing people because I might be giving them something they didn't know they needed. How do you know? You think you need one thing, maybe you need something else. When you're buying a car, you say, I need this car because it's sporty, I want to go fast. But you didn't get the four-wheel drive, but now you need it because everything has turned muddy. You couldn't have foreseen that, maybe. Or could you? Or couldn't you? Or could you? So you have to go by chance sometimes. And then that's how we help each other out. Say, "Hey, I got a four-wheel mud dauber." Not mud dauber, that's a wasp. What do they call it? I don't even think mud is in the name. Why not? It's supposed to roll through mud. Let's call him a mud dauber, even though I know that's a wasp that makes a nest out of mud. Isn't that crazy? We do that as humans, too. I don't know if you've seen these mud huts that human beings make. We make structures out of so many things. Now, are they all practical? Or are they a product of the environment that we're in? Are they made from materials that are accessible? Are they problems that are solved based on the solutions that are at hand? If I have a bunch of Legos, I'm probably going to make something out of Legos. If I have a bunch of sticks, I'm going to make it out of sticks. I have never faulted the three little pigs. Right? Because when the one made a shelter out of sticks, how does he know there's going to be some kind of wolf with super lungs? That seems far-fetched. And the one that makes a house out of, what does he make it out of, wood? That's what we make most of our houses out. How can he be faulted for not seeing the future? A wolf with super lungs that can blow a hurricane? You see? And we say, oh, the brick house fella. Well, you know, really at the time he was doing it, that's overkill. Saying, why are you making, you're a pig. Do you need a brick house? Is it going to ventilate properly? You know? So it's not like he said, oh, I know that there's a wolf or anything. That's why I'm building it. And he felt all superior when he saved the other pigs. But see, the way I see the story is that we need variation. The only thing we really realize about life, the only thing we really know is biology. We can just base purpose on what we see. And if we just base purpose on what we see, then we know that life and the survival of life has to do with variations. If we don't have variations, that we might not have the solution at hand. That's what natural selection is. It isn't like, oh, this is the bet. We know the environment is cold, so everybody is born with a hairy back is superior. No. We just need that. We need a certain percentage of hairy backs and some that don't. Just in case. Then one of us will survive. You say, yeah, but I want it to be me. That's the problem. It feels like everything is centered on us. And to realize that we're just always a part, a fraction, a piece of a puzzle is sometimes hard, but it's also wonderful. You know when it's wonderful? When we're with others. I love it. I love when I'm shoveling a driveway with my neighbors. We're all equals. We're all working at something. We're all helping that older person. That older person wasn't always old. Sometimes that old old person is young. Yes, they have a time machine and they do that, and that's none of our business. But at one point, they were young and they were helping somebody shovel a driveway. Now it's our turn. And to me, that's beautiful. It's your turn to step up and help. And you might not do it perfectly or right. When you go and you build a house for charity or something, not everybody's going to be equally good with a hammer. So I know nothing about it. I'll do the electrical because I know nothing about it. No, someone's going to know a little something about it. Let them do it. I'm a musician, so what am I going to do? I don't know. You can go get water for everybody or something. Bless your heart. You see, if we were playing in a band, then it would be your moment to shine. So, man, I'm not good at anything. That's not the point. You can do anything. Sometimes just being physically there. I used to volunteer when I was a child at a convalescent home, an old folks home. Now, did I do that on my own volition? No, my mother made me go. My mother has always believed in volunteering your time to do things, and not necessarily things that you have any skill at, just to show up, to go places that need somebody. Sometimes those places need just pencil. I volunteered in a kindergarten class one time, and I thought, well, I will be teaching the children, and the teacher says, you know what we really need? I need to take these boxes and boxes of fat pencils, and I need you to go into this room off of the teacher's lounge by yourself and sit there and sharpen the fat pencils in this electrical pencil sharpener that doesn't work very well. And I said, do you mean electric pencil sharpener? And she said, electrical pencil sharpener. So I sat there. And sharpen fat pencils for a couple hours. And I thought, how am I helping? Those also serve who only sit and wrap silverware. No, they're not serving. They're wrapping silverware. But if there's nobody there to serve, then it's silverware wrapping time. So sometimes when we help out, we go places like a convalescent center, and we're not sure why we're there. So I would go, and I had so many life-changing experiences. One of them was this. There was another volunteer who would show up, an older man, and he would help us do bowling. All right, you could bowl from your wheelchair or whatever. Those plastic pins, we'd set them up in the rec room, and you roll a little plastic ball and roll the plastic pins down. And a lot of the residents would like that. It's something to do, right? Doesn't have to be, you know, very exciting. They're just, it's better than sitting there and thinking about, oh man, I'm old and I'm going to die soon. So it's good to be with a group of people. Forget yourself for a little while. Have a little fun. So I remember this one couple. It was an elderly preacher. And when I say elderly, he was 100 years old and his wife was 100. And she was there too. So this old Pentecostal preacher. And he was bowling. He'd bowl and he was enjoying himself bowling. And his wife would stand behind him. And she would go, oh, you're sinning. Oh, I'm dying. You're sinning against the Lord. Like that, because he wasn't supposed to play a game or something like that. And she was absolutely beside herself with grief. And I thought, boy, you try to help people, it's very imperfect, isn't it? A lot of us are having fun. They weren't having fun. I remember that other older volunteer used to say, do you know Paul Simon is my nephew? I said, really? I never verified that. I was like, wow, so you're Paul Simon's uncle. I guess somebody has to be. That's wonderful. Another time, I did a magic show for some of the residents. I was just a little boy. I think maybe I was 10. And, you know, sometimes a little boy is like, I'm going to do a magic show. And you get a magic kit. And pay attention to the ball. It's red. See, now it's green. You remember it was red? No. And I thought, well, no one's really enjoying this, I don't think. But I think it was important. I think maybe somebody was. Maybe they couldn't tell me. A lot of times I just talk to the residents, play cards with them. Mrs. Lang showed me how to do some card tricks. She knew card tricks better than I did. I actually learned from her. I don't know if this helped at all, but I was there, and I would show up on my day, every whatever it was, Tuesday afternoon or something. I would go down there, whether I was helping or not. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But it felt good. It felt good just to show up. Sometimes it was scary. It really was. It'd be, oh, I wasn't used to it at that point. Older people with dementia and all, fire! Some lady would yell fire all the time. First time it happened, I thought, oh my goodness. That it scared me. But eventually, you know, I became very used to the fact that people go through stages in their life and we need help. And some of us were helpers and then we need help. It's a beautiful thing. But when you're alone, sometimes you just get sucked into your own head. I've done that. I've done that so many times. Just thought, oh, I'm the center of everything. I got to solve everything. I got to work this out. I got to win at something. And I'm not. I'm a big loser. Loser at what? I don't understand. You know it's not a game. You know there's no winners and losers, really. You realize we all die, right? You do know that. You do know that. You realize that dead Babe Ruth is not a good baseball player as live Jimmy Baloney. I don't know if there's really a Jimmy Baloney out there. I apologize. You're probably a good baseball player. I'm using that as a made-up name. So, you see what I'm saying? I'm a better poet now than Allen Ginsberg because he's dead, right? So, if we were together, I don't know. Maybe for some people, I would be better. I like you don't use as many bad words. Thank you, Papa. So you're my favorite. Thank you. You never know. You know? You say, well, my art is bad or my paintings are bad. Do they give pleasure to anybody? Or you? Or does it matter? You know? Maybe you're going to be needed to shovel a sidewalk or something. Well, that's not art. Oh, man, I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes purpose sneaks up on you. Right? Sometimes you may never know. Oh, mystery and confusion. Mystery and confusion. I love mystery and confusion. I used to be baffled by it. I used to think it was some sort of curse to be confused. I used to think that mystery was a bad thing and needed to be solved. I thought that you could rip the mask off of the bad guy and say, it's really Mr. Brown. Just like that, Scooby-Doo ruined me. Columbo ruined me. Because I thought that mysteries had to be solved or could always be solved. I didn't realize that sometimes the fun was the mystery. And sometimes I was making everything a mystery because I thought everything had answers, that it wasn't just questions. And when I realized it might just be questions, I realized, hey, everything is a mystery and everything isn't a mystery. The mystery is there might not be answers. The lack of mystery is I know it's just all questions. Oh, this is wonderful. Do you mean this funhouse is supposed to be nothing but walls of mirrors and clear glass? Do you mean that's the way it was designed? I thought that the purpose was to get through this hall of mirrors. No, the purpose is to have fun and be confused in the hall of mirrors. You paid $5 to walk into this place. If you get out of it, in 30 seconds, then you've actually gotten less than your money's worth than the fellow who's lost in there for an hour. Oh, if you look at it that way, it's wonderful to be lost. You get your money's worth. It's wonderful to be lost and confused. If you feel as if you don't know what's going on, I think that you've arrived at a small piece of wisdom. I don't know who I am. Guess what? I don't know who you are either. You may not be anybody, and nobody may be somebody, and the mystery may be all there is, and just savor it. Savor it. You can look for answers. Looking for answers is fine. That's beautiful, too. What's the sun made of? We figured that out, right? We figured that out, what the sun is made of eventually. You know, it'll get some things that are knowable will get figured out. Some things will never get figured out. What is time? Still talking about that. Who knows? I don't give up on asking just because something might be unknowable. You just keep asking. Keep journeying. I keep moving forward. I keep getting up every day. Now, the reason that you don't know the hour of your death is you might give up. You go, I only have a month to go. Hey, that's going to be a long month if you decide not to do anything. You see what I'm saying? Just, you got to get up every day regardless. Just live in that. You can make moments, they can stretch them out. You can make them a little more infinite. If you just stay in them a little longer. Stay in that moment. Don't worry about it. So how did I get here? Where am I going? You're here. That's the only thing we really know. It's the only thing you know about time. Can't prove the past or the future very efficiently. I can prove the past through my memories. Can you? I don't remember. I think so. And the future, who knows? But we know about this little moment right now. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's gone again. Oh, it's gone again. Now it's gone. Now it's it. Oh, where'd that last note of the song go? Where'd that last word of the poem go? It just disappeared into the ether. Was it ever here to begin with? Was it ever here to begin with? Where'd my last thought go? Where'd everybody I know go? Where's my family? Where's my friends? Where are the stars? Oh, gosh. I'm so glad to be with you here. You know, I'm reminded about that old show, Mission. Impossible. People forget about the colon, but we need the colon. It's between the mission and the impossible, the eating and the pooing. And the Impossible Pooh was a great show. I don't know if you saw that. It was really Winnie the Pooh. And he had learned to time travel and to become invisible. But I'll get to that later. It's wonderful. But on Mission Impossible, the leader of the Mission Impossible would get his mission. And then he would have to go to a portfolio of magazine covers because all good secret agents appear on popular magazines. So we would go through and he'd say, do I need Rolling Hand? Because maybe I got to put somebody, somebody put on a rubber mask so that they look like Nehemiah Persoff. Do I need that for a mission? Do I need Peter Lupus today to lift something heavy? And then he puts together this team for this mission. Well, what if you had to put together a team for a mission and you didn't know what the mission was? That's love. That's what people say. So you got to put together a mission in May. Stay away, flay, bray. Dip, pip, mip, zip. Right? What are you saying? I don't know. Not all words have to have meaning, do they? I think so. Yeah, my mistake. Sorry. I thought all I had to do was fill up time. And I think you do, a little bit. But what if I put out a bunch of possibilities? You're going to use one of them, right? Just possibilities. If I limit those possibilities, if I limit what I offer you, if I bring you a toolkit, and I limit that toolkit to certain types of tools, you may not find what you need. I got to put in some improbable things in there. Sometimes you got to put in a drinking straw. Sometimes you got to put in a magnet. Sometimes you got to put in just a bunch of wire. Sometimes you got to add things to the toolkit that seem unlikely. Because you don't know. You don't know who is going to be needed. Now, I think we need more myths like that. We need more stories where it's the most unlikely character who needs to step up at the end in conjunction with other unlikely characters because they're needed at that moment. And that moment isn't the end of things. That isn't the ultimate purpose. That is just one of those moments. Say, what if I'm never needed? Oh. You know, I have, right here, I've got a Tai Chi sword in case I'm attacked by a Kung Fu assassin. Now, that Tai Chi sword is beautiful, and it's a little bit sharp. It's sharp enough that I could fend off a Kung Fu assassin. Now, I bet I will never, ever need that. But I can't imagine my life without that beautiful Jian. All right? That beautiful Tai Chi sword that's sitting there in the corner. Looking good. I'm looking good, Mr. Han. And that's what it's all about. I may not win this island kung fu tournament, but I'm looking good. Oh, it's important to show up, to add your name to things. I want you to say that after me. Silently, because I don't know where you are and it might be inappropriate. Say, Hardy, I'm here. I've shown up. Hardy, I'm here. I've shown up. Hardy, I got my snow shovel. I'm ready to shovel some snow. Hardy, I'm ready. Snow, 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 snow. I know that I may be needed. I know that my neighbors may need me. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to keep my eyes open. Because purpose isn't something that's going to fall in my lap. I'm not going to get it out of a book. I'm not going to get it by staring into my own head necessarily. I'm not going to get it by imagining that I am someone I am not. I'm just going to be who I am. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to bumble through this life. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. There is no supposed to. Supposed to is be making variations. There is no better. There is no best. There's just variations. There's just different kinds. And we need as many different kinds and differentness as possible. Because it's life that is meaningful, you know? And so, I don't know why. Why? I don't know. It just keeps going. But I tell you, it's the drive that's in all of us. That's the one purpose you could say to keep life going. I don't have any children. You don't have to. That's not how it works. That's not even how it works. You just have to be. You just have to exist. You can't take anything away. You take it away, things do change. So just, I got a bunch of pencils and pens here in my pencil and pen cup. Some of them I use, some of them I don't. Some of them are, like, I have this Copic that is so thin that it cannot be seen by the human eye. right? It's like 0.00000001 or something. I can't even, that's it. But I know it's in my arsenal. I have it there. You ever see one of those movies, kung fu movies, like the Defenders or something? And they're going down, they say, all lines, here's all the different swords and all different weapons, and you can have your choice. And one of them is just a fat kindergarten pencil. So I don't think I'm going to use that. Yes, but we don't know. Who knows? You might need it. We don't know if the tournament will be about, you know, can you make a nice cursive D on one of the fat lined paper? And you would need that. Now, there are big fat pencils that are too fat. I remember going on some trips as a child. You go to Florida. Well, I was in Florida, so we didn't really travel to Florida because we were already there. But let's say you went on the turnpike or something to get one of them big fat pencils that says Florida on it. And it's like, look how big it is. It's crazy big. I know it's too big to ever. You'd still buy it. So I'm going to use it in school. Teacher go, no, that's not regulation pencil. I want to take my standardized test with it. I don't think you can. I think it's a number two. Just because it looks like a number two doesn't mean it is one. But I mean number two pencil. Oh, okay. Now I understand. Big fat cigars. Novelty cigars. Where are you going with that? I don't know. That just popped into my head. Wax sailfish made in a big machine. Now you're just naming things on the Florida Turnpike. Yes, because you might need me to. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you need me to mention on the radio. My voice is going out on the radio to different people. I don't know what they need to hear. I don't know what answer you need to hear right now. I don't know what story you need to hear. I don't know what words you need to hear. You might need to hear me list things that you could buy on the Florida Turnpike in the 1960s or 70s. A bag of cotton. A cotton bloom with seeds in it so you could plant the seeds and grow cotton. Really? I think I remember that. I remember doing that. I'm not sure if the cotton grew. And then when it grew, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to buy a tiny little cotton gin. This is a hassle. No thank you. All sorts of stuff. Plastic alligators. But I do really remember these machines, big machines, you know, there's kind of machines you put pennies in and it'll squash your penny. Hey, make your money worthless. All right. It would squash your penny and write something on it like, sucker. Well, they also had these machines that you could watch a wax figurine being made. Maybe it'd be a dolphin or, not a porpoise, but a dolphin or a sailfish or something like that. And you put your money in. And these two things come together, the mold goes, then it fills it up with hot wax. And then I guess it gives it an MRI. I don't know what that sound effect is. And then it cools it and it goes, and the mold comes apart and the wax thing drops and you get a wax sailfish that says Florida on the base, like that. And then you get back in the car with your grandparents and you start picking apart the pieces of wax and shoving them down between the seats. And your grandfather yells at you and says, God, what are you doing? Like that. And that's what you would do on the Florida Turnpike. No, that's just what I did on the Florida Turnpike. Other people may have different ideas of what they like to do. And yes, there were lots of oranges. Orange this, that, and the other thing. Back when Florida grew oranges before they were all killed. In the blight or whatever, or the change in the climate. I don't remember. I think they still do have some oranges, but I know less than they did. But that was a big thing. You don't even see, I don't think Florida touts that anymore. Oranges, they say. Their thing now is, we'll fill in land, we'll fill in swamp for you if you want to build a condo. That's their big thing now. It used to be, hey, beautiful, sweet oranges. What a magical, mystical fruit. No other fruit quite like that. Perfectly round, this strange, wonderful color, the color of sunsets. And the flavor, an indescribable flavor that tastes like, at its best, like sweet flowers. Satisfying. The orange. For the Love of Three Oranges by Hardy White. There once was three oranges, and they were a folk tale. And then Prokofiev, I believe, wrote something based on that. And so I took one of the oranges and opened it up, and there was a lady in it, and she said, "Water, water, I must have water." And then she dried up and died, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't remember. But eventually I knew to have water. I was going to a witch's house one time because I'd been cursed. I needed to get the curse off of it. And on my way, I went to the houses of the four winds, and they each gave me something. One of them gave me a rope, one of them gave me a stake, and one of them gave me a comb. And they, what about the fourth wind? He wasn't home. So I went to the witch's house, and the witch's house was guarded by dogs. And so I threw the stake, and the dogs went after the stake, and I got in. And then I went out to go upstairs to find the witch, and there was a staircase, and the staircase collapsed, and I couldn't get up it. So I used the rope to climb up the staircase. And then when I got up there, the witch was up there, and she's angry at me. And she was all mad, and so I gave her a comb, and she used the comb to take the tangles out of her hair, and that made her more friendly, and she took the curse off of me. The end. Now, what does that tell you? Rope, always carry rope, comb, and meat with you. No, that can't be right. I don't know, man. You know, be prepared. How do you be prepared? I guess. I guess you can't fully be prepared, can you? But you may be the meat or the rope or the meat rope or the meat comb that is needed at a certain time. Oh, I know that it's good to meet with you, friend. I'm glad you could comb here today. And rope, blah, 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 blah. I can't quite do it. I'm sorry, I don't like to pun necessarily. I believe that sometimes punning is very aggressive. How is that? Well, it's like, you know, let's say you come up to somebody and you're being real sincere with them, and they say, "Your hat looks stupid." See, punning is acknowledging the surface of something. You're paying attention to the word, but not the meaning of the word. So you're hearing something, and what you're thinking of, that word sounds similar to another word. You're not trying to figure out the meaning of it. You're not really looking or paying attention. You're just reacting like a robot, right? And that's what people get annoyed at puns. You think, you're not taking me serious. You're not even listening. You just heard the word, and you're making a joke about the word. Now, I love to make jokes, and it's great, but, you know, sometimes it's good to actually try to think of the meaning of something. What's trying to be communicated? You know, we don't always have to make each other laugh. You don't always have to be the most clever person. You don't always have to one-up people. It doesn't have to be, if you make a comment on something, it doesn't have to be the most clever comment. Sometimes it could just be a question. And that would be, maybe that would be wonderful. Maybe that would lead to something great. Don't always have to prove ourselves, right? Because we're never sure what's really required, are we? Oh, I'm so glad to be with you, my friends. To be together today is a blessing, and it's so crazy. What are the odds? What are the odds that we could be together? What are the odds that we could, that this moment has happened? Maybe I've said something that's meaningful to you, and then you'll go on and do something else. Maybe one thing has led to another. So I don't feel like I've ever failed, you know, because I may look foolish for a moment, or I may look like I didn't have the answer. I may look like I'm just making things up. But what if it's the basis for something great? What if somebody else takes it and runs with it? I realize I'm on a team. The whole game isn't about me. You know, to execute a beautiful triple play, there's got to be three people, doesn't there?
I think so.
You know, I got to throw it to some other person, the ball. Oh, my friends, I throw the ball to you. Now, whatever you do with it is up to you. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in magical, mystical Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. I am so glad that you joined me this week. Have a great, blessed week, and I will see you again next week.